Well, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the 25th chapter of Matthew, and there are 46 verses, translation and commentary. And also we're doing part 8 this evening of regeneration. We have several letters. And right now let's go to the throne to ask the Lord to anoint with his outward Holy Spirit the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is for the ministry. And that's why there are so many people that are spiritually dead and their messages bore you to death, is because they don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Many of the churches say that they have the Spirit. Yes, we do have the inward anointing when we become born again, and it was for sure that Jesus was born of the Holy Spirit. He was begotten by the Holy Spirit. But before he was able to enter into his ministry, at John the Baptist's baptism, when he was baptizing Jesus, when Jesus was fully submerged and came up from out of the water, the Bible says, the baptism of the Holy Spirit came down upon him in the shape of a dove, and the Lord stated, "This is my Son, beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So, Lord, we ask that you anoint us with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because after Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit, his ministry immediately started. He was driven into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, to be tested, to show everybody that he had the metal, the actual Spirit of the living God, inward and outward, to be able to resist all the powers and temptations of Satan. And Lord, we ask that you anoint very strongly this evening with your baptism of the Holy Spirit, the outward anointing. Open up the ears, the spiritual ears and the spiritual eyes of those that are out in radio land and in the churches, that the church will be edified and souls, unsaved souls, will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that they too will be filled with the inward anointing, and that they will also be filled with the outward anointing for the ministry. Lord, we ask it in that you destroy every work of Satan, that you open up people's eyes to all the things that are happening in this world that are mentioned in the 24th chapter of Matthew, so that they can see how close they are to the time of your return, your very soon return. Oh, we ask it, and that we ask that they resist Satan, send Satan in the world, and take up the cross, deny themselves, and follow you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now where's the first letter from?
An email from Guanajuato, Mexico.
Okay.
A few days ago, some of the Alamo Ministries literature was placed in the congregation that I attend. As I am always hungering for the Word of God, I took some to my house. I found the truth. I was left impacted by the fire of Pastor Alamo. Thank you, Ricardo from Guanajuato, Mexico.
Well, the fire that is in me is the fire of the Holy Spirit, and I pray that God will fill you with that same fire. I take no credit for anything. It is all the Lord. It is the fire, the Holy Spirit in fire. You know, there's no such thing as a Holy Ghost. The Lord is not a ghost. The Bible says that God is the Spirit, and all those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The translators of the King James Version say Holy Ghost, but it's actually, and then some places they say Holy Spirit. But the original text, now don't be upset because of the translators, that translators made a few mistakes in the King James Version, because translations are never as good as the original. And that's why when the Lord says for you to study the Word, to be a workman approved by God, rightly dividing the word, that you need not be ashamed when you're preaching the gospel. Well, studying the word doesn't mean that you're just using one Bible. You have to stay away from the bad Bibles, But get into the original text, the Hebrew, the Aramaic, and the Hellenic Greek, which is the Greek written and spoken by Jews, the Jews who actually wrote the Bible. And so the people of in the Aramaic area of the world, in Israel, and in those countries there, in the Middle East, they know what the Bible says a lot better than you people in the United States. We're the ones that wrote the Bible. My real name is Bernie Lazarhoff, and I'm a Jew. And we wrote it. And you should thank God that God raised his chosen people up, the Jews, because the Bible states that it was when Paul stated, what profit is there in being a Jew? He says, much in many ways. Amen?
Amen.
Because it was to them that the God, that the living God, gave the oracles of God. He gave the word of God to us. And so don't tell us about the Bible. Ask us, all right? We really know God and we know the word. And you know, for instance, even some of the Jews, I mean, the unsaved Jews, they say, like I was at witnessing to one of them today, and I said, well, I'm Jewish. And she said, oh, well, then how come you're a Christian? All the first Christians were Jews. Jew means that you believe in the Messiah, Christ. So, and then she says, well, and I said, I was never raised Jewish. She says, oh, well, I said, Jews are both a religion and a nationality. She says, well, I believe that it's just a religion. I said, no, I'm a Hebrew. The Lord says that he rescued the Hebrew children out of Egypt. They were all Hebrews or Jews. But not everyone that says they're Jews are Jews. Not everyone that says they're Israel is Israel, because only those that believe that the Messiah, and the Bible tells 333 prophecies, the Old Testament tells 333 prophecies of the coming of the Messiah, and they all fit Jesus to a glove. So anyone that hasn't studied the Old Testament to be workmen approved by God, that they need not be ashamed as they are today, because if they all accepted the Messiah, well, then God would take all the heat off of them in Israel, and eventually they will turn to the Messiah. As people come from Israel saying that they believe that half the people in Israel do believe that Jesus is the Messiah, but they don't do anything about it. If you really believe that God is Jesus and Jesus is the Messiah, then you better listen to his word and do what he says, because when you know the truth and don't do it, then that's sin. Okay? So there's the religion of the Jews, or the Hebrews, was Judaism. But now that Judaism does not believe that Christ, who fulfilled 333 prophecies of the Old Testament, they don't believe that he's the Messiah, so they are no longer Jews. Because, again, a Jew is one that believes in the Jewish or the Hebrew Messiah. And there are 333 proofs. You can send a letter to somebody, and there's some, maybe five different ways. All you need is their name and the address, the street, so that's three items, and the town, that's four items, and the zip code, that's five items, and you can get a letter and determine where this person is. That's all you'd need to know of the Messiah. But here, the Bible tells where the Messiah would be born, in Bethlehem of Judea, that he'd be born of a virgin, that he would be born on a certain day, and Christ is the only one they claim to be the Messiah that was born on that exact day that it tells of in the book of Daniel. And he died on the exact day that the Bible says that he would die. And then it tells how he would die, with nail-pierced hands and feet, 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And that he would be sold for 30 pieces of silver. And that he would die for the sins of the world, that he'd be cut off for the transgressions of everybody in the world, and that he would raise from the dead and then ascend into heaven, and then he would come back in the last days. Those are only about 10 or 15 signs that I gave you. There are 315 or 18 more on top of that to prove without a doubt. So you'd have to be really dense to not know that Jesus is the Messiah, or else you just haven't read the Bible. You're ignorant. You're either ignorant or very dense, very stubborn, in which case, see, the Lord wants to make sure that everybody knows who the Messiah is, because if you don't acknowledge the Messiah that God paid, sent into the world to die for you, to get you from out from under the condemnation of the law, if he you don't even care about that, well, then the Lord figures you're a real bad guy or girl, and that you are going to spend eternity in hell. So God provided all this information. I'm talking about hell and the lake of fire with all of its torments. So God has provided all this information for you so that you could know without a shadow of a doubt that Christ Jesus is the actual Jewish Messiah that the entire Old Testament talked of. He was the actual tree of life, and he is today, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by Christ. There's no other name given among men whereby you must be saved but the name of Christ. And Christ is actually, the Bible tells us, the entire Word of God. So the Word of God came into the world as a man, and with the Spirit of God in him, was born of a virgin in Bethlehem of Judea on the exact day that Daniel tells of, and then he died on the exact day that Daniel tells of us of. And as it talks in the Bible, nail-pierced hands, feet, sold for 30 pieces of silver, they'd be nailed to a tree, a cross. And it goes on and on and on, and tells that he would die so that people could be saved for and wash away all the transgressions, the former sins that you committed, and drown them in the sea of God's forgetfulness, and he won't remember them against you anymore, provided you take up the cross after his mighty Spirit enters into you and gives you the power to not sin any longer. And so, yes, a Jew is one that it isn't just a religion or a dead religion like Judaism, because Judaism denies the Messiah. They don't know the Bible. I will debate the Bible with any pope, any cardinal. We have cardinals that have been saved in this church, and priests and rabbis. I'll debate the Bible with any theologian. It doesn't make any difference where they come from or what false religion they come from, and I'm sure that they don't know the Bible. I have... When I was on the phone here in Los Angeles, I debated them on the telephone in Milwaukee, or the Catholic Defense League. They had rabbis and cardinals and everyone there, and they could not stand up to the knowledge that I have in the Lord. I did it again while I was in Miami, Florida, on the telephone. I called again in Miami, and they wanted me to debate with them in Milwaukee, where the Catholic Defense League used to be. I don't know if it's still there or not. But no one can stand up against the Word of God. So if you know the Word of God, you can counsel kings, queens, presidents, princes, princesses, everyone in the world. And so therefore we have more knowledge than anyone in the world. Believe me, order my Messiah book. It tells of all the 333 prophecies. It's in almost every language, and so if you're Italian, French, Spanish, English, Japanese, Chinese, you know, I've got it all. And we have it in Telugu, many other languages. But let's go on with the reading of these letters here some more. What's the next one from?
An email from Little Rock, Arkansas. Dear Pastor, I know now this was in fact no accident or coincidence. Less than 30 minutes before me typing this, I was sitting at a bar when I walked out to my bike when your newsletter was by it. Out of all the vehicles in the parking lot, I seemed to be the only one who received it.
Bike, he's talking about a motorcycle then. He's probably a motorcycle buff. Okay, then what?
I got home and read the part about beware of the Pope's blessings, and it really hit me. I must know more about my Father in heaven, not the so-called blasphemic Father that so many unfortunate people believe in. I have been looking for the truth for some time now. Thank you, Jesus, our true Savior and Almighty God and the Holy Spirit, for showing me the way.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I kind of did that piece of literature the Lord led me to as a whim, that somebody else wrote it, and I just rewrote it. I did the way they did, then put some of my comments in from the Lord. And it's just wonderful to hear the different pieces of literature that affect people. All right, then what?
Then an email from Cameroon, Africa. Very dear Brother Tony Alamo, we really would address our warmest greetings and thanks as well to your ministry for the wonderful free gifts. All of this is to say that we have received quite a few copies of your writings. These have already helped touch many souls and many of our co-workers in Cameroon who are giving the same testimony. As leaders, we have an obligation to teach the people by training and educating disciples how to go from here. We need the tools that are necessary for these circumstances.
I'll guarantee you, if you order some of my Messiah books and distribute them to people that you think are looking for the Lord or not even looking to find Jesus, the Lord's salvation, you're going to be surprised because they're going to find salvation. You'll see it right before your very eyes. People that you would least think that would accept the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe some person that you just have completely written off of a person from society. As a matter of fact, you know, we all must leave today's type society and join the true society of the spiritual realm, the everlasting life. But just give it to the worst person you know and watch their lives change right before your very eyes. See it, you know. It's just a challenge I give to you. Get the Messiah book and hand it out to somebody that you think is beyond salvation. Don't you know those are the ones that the Lord came to save? He didn't come to save Goody Two-Shoes, who thinks that they're already wonderful and nice. He came to win the prostitutes and the robbers and the thieves and people from the IRS. They're considered in the Bible as some of the worst people. Matthew was at one time an IRS man, but thank God he got saved and wrote an entire book in the Bible, the book of Matthew. When I was in trial on false charges with the IRS, the prosecutor says, and Matthew was an IRS man. I wasn't able to talk because, you know, you can't talk out of order in the courtroom, but I wanted to say so badly, yes, he was, but he wasn't anymore. He repented from being an extortioner and some false accuser, as you folks were. You scallywags, you. But the Lord will save you just like he did Matthew, if you'll just repent. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what else?
Please send gospel literature and your book, The Messiah, all in the French language and Bibles. Thank you for your concern and your very good understanding, Pastor Zachary from Cameroon, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Was that the last one?
One more.
One more. Okay, where's this one from?
From Ghana, Africa. Dear Sir in Christ, I am very happy to write you. I have read your literature and your book, The Messiah. They have strengthened my spiritual life. I really want you to bring me some of your literature and books, and I want to commit my life to God. Even when I read your literature, I said to myself that I will dwell in the word of the Lord. Amen. I would like to end here. Yours faithfully, Emmanuel from Ghana, Africa.
Yeah, and here I always, many times, you know, our people run in, and I have run into so many people that say, well, what about the people in, you know, in the jungles in Africa? I can tell them, you know, we get far more strengthening mail from Africa than we do here in the United States. I'd say you people are the ones living in the jungle. The people in Africa, they really believe the gospel. And they are far more sensible than you are. You people really believe in the Antichrist government, cult, and media. They don't. They believe the Bible a lot more. There's many more Christians there that are real Christians than there are here. And that's such a sad case that it's pitiful that we're here in the United States and they're receiving the gospel more in Africa, India, the Philippines, and we're in around 200 countries in the world. And if there are more countries, I don't know. I keep getting letters from countries I don't even know existed. I never knew they existed. All right, and so that's it?
Yes.
Okay, now, of course, there were newspaper articles all over the country now stating that they expect over 540,000 deaths from this new bird flu that's going around. And, you know, there are germ warfare and chemical warfare offices that the Vatican is part of, because it's part of the government operation, not only here but other places in the world. And this very well could be, because many people that I know that are scientists and people in the government that say that, yes, a lot of these diseases are manufactured. And the Lord said if he didn't shorten the time that no flesh would be able to withstand all these things. Satan wants to destroy your souls before you get saved. And that's why you must get saved, because you never know what they're going to spring on you next. The Vatican stated that there was going to be a lot of terrorism in the country. Well, I know that they're not prophets. They're the Antichrist, the head of the Antichrist regime. So when that, I saw that in the Sun magazine, that tabloid paper. Somebody brought it to me, because I'm not a subscriber of it, but they brought it to me, and I read that, and I said, well, you can be sure that there's going to be terrorism. They're predicting it because they're the ones that are doing it. And sure enough, they said in early fall. Well, that's exactly September the 11th. That's exactly early fall when the World Trade Center was bombed, the Pentagon, and there's all many other terrorist attacks. This is all contrived, planned by the Vatican. Also, them using the United States troops to go and bomb other countries to antagonize them, because they want the United States to be destroyed by terrorists or any other means, because of the fact that we are the ones, this nation was built on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so therefore, Satan hates it, and he wants us to be destroyed. And get into the prayer room, into your closet, and begin praying that God will make a way and keep you safe and secure and sound during these terrorist attacks that are being caused by the One World Cult, the Vatican, the government, the One World Government, and the One World Media. That it, One World Media, the Bible says that Satan would be given a voice, and it happens to be the media at large. Talk about ABC, CBS, and your major networks, NBC. I mean, you just can't believe anything they say unless it's an airplane crash or something like that. And there are so many planned catastrophes in the world today. And don't think that this just happened, or that it was a bunch of or a few Arabs in a cave that contrived all this and set up the entire country to where the president was away and there was nobody watching at the airport and all this. This is an inside job right here in the United States of America. You'd have to really be naive to not know that, to not believe that. I know for a fact that there are hundreds of thousands, many people, hundreds of thousands of people that believe that it was an inside job. And that all the people in the administration knew of it. They planned the attack on Waco. They went there to kill those people. Innocent little men, women, and children, God's little children over there. And also that contrived setup over at Jonestown. And the way that they attacked us and stated that we had underground tunnels and that we were mind control and brainwashed, because we're preaching the gospel. And the Pope made statements that the gospel, anyone that reads the Bible, it's dangerous, don't do it. The Bible said it's very dangerous if you don't read the Bible. you better read it, he says, and not only read it, but study it, so that you can know the perilous times that are at hand. This is God's information book and blueprint on how to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So don't neglect your reading of the Word of God. I've even heard them say that you go crazy if you read the Bible. No, you'll go crazy if you listen to the news media. You'll go crazy if you listen to them. As a matter of fact, you are crazy if you're listening to them, and you better repent. And the Bible says if you read the Bible and keep your mind stayed upon the Word of God, that you'll have perfect peace and a sound mind. Amen?
Amen.
So it's just the opposite. Whatever you hear the Antichrist regime say, it's just the opposite. Whenever you see them slandering people, you got to know they're good. Whenever you see them exalting somebody, you got to know that they're of the same caliber of people that they are. Evil. Okay, then what?
The story of the 10 bridesmaids. Verse 1. Quote, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of the 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Verse 2. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. Verse 3. The five who were foolish took no oil for their lamps. Verse 4. But the other five were wise enough to take along extra oil.
That the oil means the Spirit of God. You have to walk in the Spirit of God. And the Word of God is spirit and life. So when you read the Word, you get the Spirit of the Lord in you. And then when the Lord comes, you're going to be filled with the Spirit. And he comes as a thief in the night when you don't really know exactly when he's going to come and get you. And so when you've got the Spirit of the Lord in you, you're ready to meet him. Okay, so the unwise, don't be like the unwise virgins that don't have any oil in their lamp. You read the Word and keep the Spirit in you. All right, then what?
Verse 5, when the bridegroom was delayed, they all laid down and slept. Verse 6, at midnight they were all roused by a shout. Quote, look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and welcome him! Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 7, all the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Verse 8, then the five foolish ones asked the others, quote, please give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out, unquote.
In other words, preach some messages to us real quick. Hurry up if we need some of the, to be reminded, be reproved of the Word of God. But when the Lord comes to get you, it's too late to hear any more messages. You have to keep yourself tanked up with the Spirit yourself. You have to read the Word yourself. If somebody comes with machine guns at your door, you don't say, well, oh, please, you know, give me some faith then. You have to have the faith in there to stand in front of these people and preach the gospel to them. Okay, and when the Lord comes, you have to have the Spirit of the Lord in you, or he's not going to take you with him. You're going to go downward instead of upward. Then what?
Verse 9, but the others replied, quote, we don't have enough for all of ours. Go to a shop, buy some for yourselves, unquote. Verse 10.
In other words, go to a church and get some. You know, the Lord's right out the door now, and they know better than they can go to some church and have the Lord say, okay, hold on while we get tanked up again. It's too late then. Too late, too late, too late. Then what?
Verse 10. But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked.
So the ones that were trying to get tanked up with the Spirit of the Lord were locked out. And there's only two places where a soul can spend eternity, and that's either in heaven or hell, in the lake of fire. Okay, then what?
Verse 11. Later, when the other five bridesmaids returned, they stood outside hollering, quote, sir, open the door for us, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 12, but he called back, quote, I don't know you, exclamation mark, unquote.
No, if you don't have the Spirit of God in you, if you don't have God's life in you, how does he know you? And you don't know him either, because you just don't pay any attention to what it's saying here. It's a warning to you to be filled with the Spirit at all times, because we know not in what hour our Master and Lord will come. Okay, then what else? So be prepared at all times. Then what?
Verse 13. So stay awake and be prepared, because you do not know the day or hour of my return. The story of the three servants, verse 14. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a trip. He called together his servants and gave them money to invest for him while he was gone.
In other words, he gave his disciples the word of God, which is the money that you get into the kingdom of heaven. It's the Spirit that say you can't buy your way into heaven. You must have the Spirit, which is the actual riches of the kingdom of God and all the pleasures there. And so you must be filled with the Spirit. That's the only money that heaven will accept, is the Spirit of God in you. He won't take money, you know, currency and coins. Then what else? All that'll burn up. The streets in heaven are paved with gold. Money is put down, is a put down in heaven. You walk on it up there. Gold, solid gold, 24 karat gold. Then what?
Verse 15. He gave 5 bags of gold to one, 2 bags of gold to another, 1 bag of gold to the last.
This means a lot of the Spirit and a lot of the gifts of the Spirit and the abilities of the Spirit to preach and teach and to lay hands on people and to be helpers in the ministry and all these things. Then what?
Dividing it in proportion to their abilities, and then left on his trip. Verse 16. The servant who received the 5 bags began to immediately invest the money and soon doubled it.
He began doing preaching the gospel and buying a place where people could gather and feeding people and clothing them and housing them and making people know that the Spirit of God is in him, because no ordinary person does this sort of thing. And he wins souls and preaches the true word to people without mixing it with the heresy. And so people can tell that this person is really of the Lord. You know, a lot of people that preach the gospel, they have little faults and stuff, and they're just like human beings too. But they don't sin. Really, they don't, because, and God knows that they're soul winners, and that's the main thing. The Lord doesn't expect you to be absolutely like, that you don't have to scratch your nose every so often, or your head, or you might have some kind of a tooth decay, you have to go to the dentist. Some people say, well, it must not be of the Lord. That isn't the way the Lord judges people. He judges them, are you a soul winner? Are you out doing my work? And yeah, sometimes, Lord, we have to go to the dentist. Yeah, that's fine. He winks at that. That's no big deal. Or we might have to go in and get our hair cut, okay? Or something else. Maybe get a little skin rash. That's not sin. But perfection is walking in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, doing the will of the Lord. Then what?
Verse 17. The servant with 2 bags of gold also went right to work and doubled the money.
Yes, a lot of people say, well, you're not supposed to work. Christ has done all the works. That's a lie. We're the continuation of Christ's incarnation. He wants to continue his work in and through us. And if you just sit down and do nothing, then he's going to judge us by the works we did in our bodies. That's what the Bible says. And the Apostle James says, I'll show you my faith by my works. And so those people that are telling you that you don't have to get busy and do the work of the Lord, they're the devil. They really are Satan telling you these things. It's totally contrary to the Word of God. If you believe them more than you do God, well, then you're part of the Antichrist regime. Okay, then what?
Verse 18. But the servant who received the 1 bag of gold dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money for safekeeping.
Yeah, he didn't do anything. Just like he believed the people who told him, no, the Lord did all the work, and you can just take your talents and sit down and just live your same old life that you did before. Okay, and then what happened to this guy?
Verse 19. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and
This is symbolic of the Lord coming back to earth again. Then what?
and called them to give an account of how they had used his money.
Yeah, where are the souls that you won for me, is what he's going to ask us. Where are the beautiful souls that I died for, and you didn't even care about them? I died that you could, that I could enter into you be a soul winner to win many souls to my kingdom. Where are the souls? Okay, then what?
Verse 20, the servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of gold said, quote, "Well, sir, you gave me 5 bags of gold to invest, and I have doubled the amount."
So I did more. You gave me a talents, and I won all these souls because you lived in me strongly, because I had the ability to speak and to teach and to, I had the fear of the Lord and desire to win souls. And so I doubled the amount. Then what?
Verse 21, the master was full of praise. Quote, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling a small amount, and so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together, exclamation mark, unquote.
Right, if you hired somebody to work, if you say had your gas station or something, and they just sat and the cars were coming and you didn't help fill them up and wipe their windshields, and I know that's a thing of the past, but if I had a gas station, I'd be wiping people's windshields to induce them to be nice to him and give an opportunity of, why are you doing this? Well, because the Lord says me to treat people the same way as if you were the Lord. And then that's a good testimony. And then I'd fill their gas tank. They wouldn't, you don't have to get out of the car, sir. And I'd even have a place there where they could get coffee served right at their, or tea or milk or whatever they want if they're, while they're sitting in the car waiting for their car to be serviced. And I would even have a little hamburger stand there or like some kind of a sandwich to where they could have food and something to eat at one stop. And my God, this would be a pleasurable thing in on earth here to get gassed up and have something to eat and maybe have them sell them a bouquet of flowers to take home to their wives. Right? Box of candy or something. Okay, then what?
Verse 22. Next came the servant who had received the 2 bags of gold with a report, quote, "Sir, you gave me 2 bags of gold to invest. I have doubled the amount," unquote.
Well, praise the Lord. Then what else?
Verse 23, the master said, quote, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, and so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together, exclamation mark, unquote.
Yeah, but if you had a person that was working for you and they were keeping the grounds clean, pumping people's gas, wiping their windshields, and talking to them and delivering some food to them or telling them that there's certain things, maybe a newspaper or something like that, and they would really be happy, wouldn't they?
Yes.
Yeah, and the Lord would know, you know, you're trying to be a good testimony because they want to hear what you say, because nobody does that anymore. They all become lazy and slothful and just, they just want your money. And they want to take the easy way out. Okay, so this one does what the Lord says. Okay, then what?
Verse 24. Then the servant with the 1 bag of gold came and said, quote, "Sir, I know you are a hard man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops that you didn't cultivate."
When in reality the Lord did sow the good seed into this world, and this man just thinks of the Lord as being hard and cruel and making people do work, when he just wants to be a lazy bum and lay down a weasel. Then what?
Verse 25, "I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Here it is," unquote. Verse 26, but the master replied, quote, "You wicked and lazy servant, exclamation mark. You think I'm a hard man, do you, harvesting crops I didn't plant and gathering plants I didn't cultivate?" Verse 27, "Well, you should have at least put my money into the bank so that I could have some interest."
See, Lord, there wasn't any salvation to anybody until the Lord came to this world. And he sowed the good word so that we all have the word. So to say that he didn't sow, that's what a wicked, uneducated weasel this person is. Here God made the very planet that this weasel is laying on. He made the very dirt that he buried his talents in. He made the very air that the man's breathing, the food that the man is eating, and the water that the man is drinking, and all the fruit and vegetables and everything. He says, you didn't do anything, Lord, and so I decided not to do anything. No, the Lord created everything, and he expects us to subdue the earth. Amen? That's what it says. And to mold it and make it and to be zealous about it and to win souls. People coming to your car door to witness and testify to people. Well, we're afraid we'll lose customers. Why, you wicked servant, you're ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and more concerned about money than you are to do what the Lord God Almighty that created you tells you to do. You know, witness to people. And God will make a great increase. There's a man in that has a big business in Arkansas, and he has a big sign on his above his door. This is the Mini Tony Alamo Ministry, and he witnesses to everybody and distributes literature to everybody that comes in the door. And he's making a lot more money than he ever did before he was in the ministry and before he was ever preaching the gospel. And he doesn't even have to be around the store anymore. The people that work for him are doing the work, and they're all getting saved, and he gets them into the church and everything. And he's very prosperous now, okay? More prosperous than he was before, because he witnesses and God honors him. Okay, then what?
Verse 28, take the money from this servant and give it to the servant with 10 bags of gold. Verse 29, to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who are unfaithful, even what little they have will be taken away. Verse 30, now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Yeah, throw him out into the and then into the hell and the lake of fire, where it's dark and full of torments. Okay, and every kind of misery that you could ever think, things that you'd never even think of. Okay, then what else?
The final judgment, verse 31. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. Verse 32. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate them as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Verse 33. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats on his left. Verse 34. Then the king will say to those on the right, quote, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. Verse 35. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home.
I was hungry for the word of God. I was thirsty for the word of God. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your gathering place where you have church. And not only did you feed me just temporal food for my your very temporal body, but he fed them mainly the soul food, the spirit, the word of God into your, and the food and drink into your soul. Then what?
Verse 36. I was naked, and you gave me clothing.
I was without the clothing of righteousness, and you preached the gospel to me, and I was clothed with the word of God. The Bible says to put on the whole armor of God. Then what?
I was sick, and you cared for me.
I was sick because I was lost, and you cared for me, and you preached the gospel to me, and I was well. By your stripes I was healed. I was saved and healed. Then what?
I was in prison, and you visited me.
I was in the Satan's prison house, and you came and preached the gospel to me, and I was set free. Then what?
Verse 37. Then these righteous ones will reply, quote, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or see you thirsty and give you something to drink? Verse 38. Or a stranger and showed you hospitality, or naked and gave you clothing? Verse 39. When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? Verse 40, and the king will tell them, quote, I assure you, when you did it to one of the least of these my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me, exclamation mark, unquote.
So we must treat people, every person we meet, as though it were the Lord. Even if they're wicked people, you preach the gospel more to them because that's who the Lord died for us to save the sinners. Amen?
Amen.
When I was in prison, there was only one person that claimed to be a Christian outside the members of my own church that came to visit me. And I know Christians from all over the world. I know I have acquaintance with Oral Roberts. I've been acquainted with Pat Robertson. As a matter of fact, he asked me to help him in his campaign to be president of the United States, but I declined because I don't believe that we should mingle ourselves with the affairs of the world. I know so many of the different peoples. Rex Humbard, who I know very well. We've been out to dinner many times, Sue and myself, with his wife. And just many of them, but none of them came to visit me or even write me a kind word. But Alberto Rivera, the one that wrote all those books regarding the Vatican, he and his wife came to visit me in prison. And I was very surprised because they weren't even on my visiting list. I don't even know how they got in. But they came in and that really made me feel good, you know, that a person came and visited me in prison while I was there. And there were many of them. And H.B. Barnum came and testified on my behalf in the courtroom. He's probably the best producer and arranger in the, or arranger and director of music in this world today. He's had a lot of hit records and everything, and he flew all the way from Chicago to Arkansas to stand with me in the trial. Very few other people. And so a lot of people, I'm sure, have done the same to other Christians that are in trouble. They don't want to be involved with anybody that's in trouble. And yet, every time I see somebody else in trouble, I rush to their side. Like they were closing down on a man's church, and the man even refused to let me help him. And I thought, well, I thought you were a Christian, that you wanted to be helped, and get out of here, you know. So I thought there's definitely something weird with him as well. You never can tell, but at least the Lord chalked me down for being willing to help him. You understand? Okay, so be willing to help people in trouble, and don't be afraid. H.B. Barnum is doing very well. I'm sure he's a multi-millionaire, and he's still doing the arrangings and for Aretha Franklin and Tony Bennett, and he's been doing arrangements for Gladys Knight and hundreds of stars, even Frank Sinatra before he passed away. And he's a very talented man, and so he gave me a drink of water and something to eat, some encouragement. He even stated that he would let me be in his custody. And they said, well, do you leave the United States? He said, yeah, I have to go to London on occasions and out of the United States. But he says he could come with me. And they said, no, they wouldn't let it because it was definitely a setup to send me away, just like it was a setup for them to go and kill David Koresh and all the people at Jonestown. It was the government. And then they got it in the news media that they were cults and that they were doing all these weird things, the very things that the Vatican does. Martin Luther went to the Vatican and found it to be a sewer of corruption. They had young little boys and girls running around there naked. And they say, oh, that is wrong. Well, what about these choir boys that these priests molested and everything? You see them attacking Michael Jackson and all this, but why don't we see those on TV? Because the Vatican is protecting these perverts. All right, then what?
Verse 41, then the king will turn to those on his left and say, quote, away with you, you cursed one, into the fire prepared for the devil and his demons, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 42, for I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, and you didn't give me anything to drink. Verse 43, I was a stranger, and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me no clothing. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me. Unquote. Verse 44, then they will reply, quote, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you? Unquote. Verse 45, and he will answer, quote, I assure you, when you refuse to help the least of these my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me. Unquote.
Well, even if you thought that one of the brothers that were in prison or something deserved it or something, so you just didn't do it, well, then it's your duty to go there and do something for them and then find out why is it that you're in here. We'll say, brother, when Alberto Rivera was put in prison, his wife called up and said, the Vatican put him in prison and stuff like that. So I called up and I said, I asked the bail bondsman, why is he in prison? And they told me that he wrote hot check. And so I really didn't know what to believe, you know, but I went and I still got him out of prison, out of the jail here in Los Angeles or Orange County. And I asked him, and he said, that's just baloney. It never happened. It's just a false accusation. And so he beat the charges. But still in all, even though I could have said, if he wrote hot checks, boy, you know, I'm not getting him out. But I went there and got him out anyway. And then his wife was frightened because she figured that maybe somebody would be there after he's gone and at nighttime. So I sent a half a dozen of our brothers there to stand watch outside her house in her defense. My attorney, they wanted to pull the plug on him, Morris Levine. And his daughter Dolly, who is also an attorney here in Los Angeles, called and said, could you please do something? I said, yes. I had an all day and all night vigil sitting in the room with him to make sure that they did not pull the plug on, because he didn't want the plug pulled, and neither did his daughter Dolly. And this is Christianity. Nobody ever hears about that, but that's, I treated that man just like he was the Lord, and I treated Dolly like she was the Lord as well. I had brothers down there watching over that man, and I'd do the same thing for you. I don't care if your name is Tammy Faye Baker. I don't believe you're of the Lord. I believe that you've done a lot of things, but still I would attempt to be, I would be a testimony in front of you to show you what true Christianity is supposed to be. I would not condemn you because I believe that you're already condemned, and I'm going to try to be a good testimony in front of you so that you can pull out of your insanity. And the same thing with you, Jim Baker. Okay, you people knew me too. I was on your show with Sue, and I didn't see you people writing any notes or anything at all. All right, but I wasn't, that doesn't bother me outside the fact that I know you're in trouble with the Lord. Okay, then what?
Verse 46, and they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life, unquote.
All right, and now that was the 46th verse in chapter 25 of Matthew, and now the commentary.
Chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. The story of the 10 bridesmaids reinforces the need for fearing God and keeping His commandments. The fear of the Lord is wise, so we need to prepare ourselves with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that we can be ready when the Lord comes back to the earth.
You know, when H.B. was, they put him on the witness stand and they asked him, why would you come and stand up for Tony Alamo? And he said, because he's my friend. He's my friend. And he said, we've been in business together for years. But that really got me. I mean, H knew, you know, the persecution that I was getting, and he stood up. He didn't care what they thought. His dad was a minister of the gospel, and H.B. is a very large contributor of music to my church at this moment. He's part of the musical structure of the church. All right, then what else?
Those who have not prepared themselves for the return of the Lord, the heavenly bridegroom, by having faith in everything that He says and by being committed to the things that He tells us to do and be responsible to Him, all those who are not will be left behind and sent to hell in the lake of fire. For those of us who have taken up the cross and walk by the Spirit, no matter what kind of a dysfunctional background we've come through, we have become part of that preparation. Chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. Ultimately, we will be accountable to God on Judgment Day for the works that we've done or haven't done in our bodies. We're responsible not only for our own lives, but also for how we have conducted ourselves before others. The last step in growth to the fullness of the stature of the Lord is to just do everything that He tells us to do. One of them is to tell about our testimony, and let the Spirit lead you so that the Lord will be, through you, talking to them about salvation and spiritual growth. Since Jesus identifies Himself with those who suffer, who walk in the Spirit, we must follow His example and be especially alert to the needs of the Lord, what He wants us to do, and how He wants us to help others.
All right, so that was chapter 25, the translation, 46 verses in commentary, and now part 8 of regeneration.
So the condition during our experience is this one on regeneration, the condition before our experience of being born again or being regenerated. We can plainly see through God's word that our nature is corrupt, absolutely corrupt.
Yes, before we're saved. Then what?
Although before regeneration our nature was corrupt, yet we didn't have any idea that it was. It is at the time of the experience of being born of the Spirit, receiving permanent life, or regeneration, because of the Holy Spirit's enlightenment, that we see ourselves to be corrupt. At this time, we see not only that our external deeds are corrupt, but also that our inner nature is corrupt.
Right, and that's why we need to begin with regeneration, salvation, and then we need to get into the category of consecration. We have to get away from sin, Satan, and the world. Otherwise, we'll fall right back into condemnation, the condemnation of the penalty of the law, because the law never goes away. Doesn't matter what Satan's ministers tell you, the law, Christ never destroyed it or came to destroy it. He came to pay the price that the law demanded of Him, of God, to pay for the salvation of our souls. And because of that He did that, He paid for the salvation of our souls, He then tells us, now go and sin no more, lest the worst thing happen to you. Because the worst thing would be that there remains no more forgiveness. And there's only the fearful waiting for the day of judgment. And so after you're saved, after you become spiritual, and you've tasted the good things of immortality, eternal life, permanent life, and you've tasted the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit in you, that this Holy Spirit gives you to be able to keep the commandments of the Lord, to walk in the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and you begin seeing the things in the Word of God the Bible tells you to do, and then you go back. You're like a dog that has returned to its vomit, Jesus said, or a sow, in other words, a female swine, or a pog, pig, morana, or a cerdo, cucina, or cucino, that has gone back to its wallowing in the mud, in the dung. And there's no more forgiveness for you. And so the thing is make sure you're saved. The Spirit of the Lord is in you, and get filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then consecrate yourself. And there are many other steps, and you're going to want to hear them all. So continue listening to this program. And tomorrow will be, Lord willing, the 26th chapter of Matthew, and number 9, part 9 of regeneration. Until then, this is Pastor Tony Alamo telling you, just keep looking at the Word of God, concentrate on it so you can have perfect peace and a sound mind in this world of terrorism and hate and violence and filth. Keep your mind on God's Word in Jesus' name, and God bless you real good. Amen.